and Israel. These kings were anointed, listen to me, to fulfill the position God had called them to. God had a very specific thing that He wanted him to do, and then that anointing oil set them apart. If I can get you to remember, you're set apart. Maybe you don't know that every believer in the kingdom of God is supposed to be a priest, set apart unto the Lord, consecrated. We are a nation of priests. We are kings and priests. That's why sloppy salvation doesn't work. There's an anointing. Kings of Israel and Judah down through the generations were also anointed with oil. Like no oil was like that, but each success, not that they were worthy, and not even the ones that were anointing them were worthy, and we got the result. It's, once again, it's not the gospel is not magic. James chapter 5 is not magic. But it is something that we can look at. But then you go a few books later, and we wind up in Zechariah chapter 4. And Zechariah sees a vision. It's a vision of glory. And as he's looking at it, he sees these two olive trees by the throne of God. And out of these olive trees comes olive oil. And it fills a big golden bowl out of that. And then it goes out of that in tubes out to seven different candlesticks. And that oil is the fuel that provides the light of the candlesticks. Folks, he said, what on earth? What is this oil? What is this anointing? It is the power, my friend, it is the power of the Holy Ghost flowing into God's people to do the things that they cannot do in the natural. This is heaven's oil. We didn't get this from heaven, but it is representing heaven's oil that is flowing today as I speak to you. It's still flowing. Hallelujah. And it's flowing to people. It is the, listen, it's the power of the Holy Ghost. And it is flowing to God's people tonight. Blessed be His holy name. The olive trees have not run out of oil. The glory of God is not short at the mercy seat. His power still rules and reigns today. And I want to tell you something. There's no demon on earth or in the heavens. There's no principality. There's no spiritual darkness or wickedness that can stop the flow of the anointing oil of the Holy Ghost if somebody will believe. If you go from Zechariah to Revelation chapter 1, the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, where he was serving a long prison sentence, on the Lord's Day, he has a vision. And guess what? The same candlesticks that Zechariah saw were still in action when the Apostle John saw them. Jesus was walking among the candlesticks, empowering his church. I am so weary of an unpowered church. Let me tell you how you kill power in your church. You offend the Holy Ghost, and it stops up the flow of the oil to the candlestick of that plant, that congregation, and no congregation can afford the stopping up or the offense of the Holy Ghost. We cannot dare. Nobody, I shouldn't say nobody, so few get healed today because we are pinching the pipe. We're pinching the pipe that sends the power of God to His church. We're pinching it with our attitude and thinking we know more than God and we can get it done our own way. And if we put things together just so, people will be attracted and then people will come to church. Listen, come on. I don't care about any of that stuff. If the oil is flowing from heaven and it flows into this house, and as we anoint with oil, the power of the Holy Ghost is demonstrated, I don't care about anything else. We'll get the results that we need. This Holy Ghost power flowing out to His people. I tell you, it's a very serious thing. So when we anoint with oil, it is not just a tradition. It is not just a ceremony. Furthermore, it's not just for healing either. Listen carefully, but that person requesting it, their desire is to be free from all iniquity and all sin. It's their desire to be set apart for the Lord, to become a living sacrifice unto Him, and also to receive the power of the Holy Ghost to heal and to deliver. Now maybe you're not so anxious to get anointed with oil. We've got to leave the devil and his boys behind. We've got to leave this world behind. Because that's what this is saying. When you take this oil and we anoint you, you're saying in coming, take it all, but give me Jesus. You're saying, I want the Spirit of the living God to rule and reign in my life. I don't want me. I want Him. You say, well, didn't you do that in salvation? I'm sure you did. But sometimes you need to do it again. Especially when you're in a battle. And you got so many people around you that want to help you. But we have lost our way. As Isaiah says, we have lost our way. And we left the Spirit of the Lord behind. And we can't do it. It's ridiculous. Some churches just flushed it. Other churches are still trying to do it, but they're trying to do it in the flesh. It will never work. I don't like to keep bringing up the old days, but there was a period of time when I was growing up that a service wouldn't go by that somebody didn't get healed. You could visibly see it. It wasn't, well, I had a migraine and now I don't have a migraine anymore. It was something physical. And you knew that the power of God is there. Friends, we don't need to get back to there. We just need to get the oil flowing. We've got, and the oil won't flow where sin is in the house. Help me, Jesus. For where the oil flows, healing, deliverance, everything good happens where the oil is flowing. Hallelujah. It's better than refined oil from the Middle East. This oil of the Spirit of God is so powerful. It can break the biggest stronghold and it can fix the biggest break. There's nothing that God won't do for us if we'll let the oil flow. If we won't choke out the olive trees up in the throne room of God. If we say, come, Holy Spirit, come. I don't care about me. I don't care about my reputation. I don't care about whether I get the glory or not. I don't care if anybody comes to church or not. I want you and I want your Spirit to flow in this house. If we give the Lord an opportunity to move, you won't keep people away. They'll say, no, I got to go. I got to go. Somebody going to get healed tonight. We got to go. So understand clearly that our desire when we, sometimes I just think, and not, of course not in this church, but other churches, where people just come to be anointed with oil and it's no big deal. I'm telling you, if an elder of a church puts his finger on this bottle and puts oil on your forehead, it's a big deal. It's a big deal to take communion. They are not just traditions or ceremonies or rites. It's not that. It's a very big deal to take communion. Read all of 1 Corinthians 11. It's a big deal. And we have fallen into a slump. Say, well, this is just what we do. You have a visitor. Why do you anoint that person or put oil on that person? Why do they do that? It's time you learn why we do that, and that's because we want the power of the Holy Ghost in that person, first in their soul and in their spirit, and then in their body. Then we can pray the prayer of faith. And whatever it is, cancer, leave in the name of Jesus. Blood pressure, regulate in the name of Jesus. Spinal cord, come back into alignment. Every vertebrae, come back into alignment. We can pray that way with the prayer of faith. And my Bible says God will answer. When you come to be anointed with oil, you also say, I will believe. You're saying, I'm going to believe the Lord. I'm going to trust the Lord. Does that mean you throw out your medication or quit going to the doctor? I don't think so. But if the Holy Ghost tells you to, you better do it. But you better say, I just believe that the Lord has His hand on me. Don't come with no expectation. You're slapping the Lord in the face. When you come and ask for to be anointed with oil, you come with expectation that the prayer of faith, you'll agree with the prayer of faith, and because that prayer will avail much, God is going to do what needs to be done in your life. He will bring it to pass. Why? Because the power of the Holy Ghost is in the house, and it's flowing from heaven. Hallelujah. Our healings come from heaven. They don't come through. They don't come by an event. A healing evangelist is bad syntax. It's not correct. There are no healing evangelists. There are only evangelists that can pray that you be healed and believe with you that you be. There's no healing pastors. We have one healer who does all the work. Surely He bore all of our sorrows. And by His stripes we are healed. We have a healer. That healer isn't deaf. That healer is not, he's still on the job. I said he's still on the job. He can bring sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, speaking to the mute. He can regulate your heart. He can open your arteries and veins. He can destroy cancer cells and replace them with good, healthy cells in the name of Jesus. He can cause you to breathe freely. He can heal your neuropathy. I said He can heal your neuropathy. What's that medication you're on? Gabapentin. I can never remember it. Jesus is better than gabapentin. I think it's somebody's goal to put everybody in the United States on gabapentin for some reason. I don't know. But we need something more than that. Am I whistling Dixie? Am I saying this? Am I trying to manipulate you as a congregation? Not at all. I'm trying to tell you what the Word of God says. This is not my idea. It's His idea. And the reason why we anoint with oil is to remember that there is this oil flowing from heaven to earth and into my body. Hallelujah. And I can trust God with it. When you go home and you go up there and you begin to wipe your forehead because there's still dampness of the oil there. It's to remind you, I gave it to Jesus. Hallelujah. He's on the job. So when you come and ask for prayer with anointing, you're saying something. I'm willing to be consecrated to the Lord. I'm willing to be healed by the Lord, by His miraculous power. I'm willing to be delivered from old habits that have continually haunted me, sometimes for years. I'm willing to be delivered from them. Once again, what good is it if you have a good arm, but you go to hell with a good arm? The anointing destroys every yoke that's come against you. Hallelujah. He'll bring deliverance to you. Now, friends, here I'm in a little bit of a quandary. Because I have something, a cold. You can hear it in my voice. I cough. And I'm saying, Lord, how am I going to anoint people? How? You see, the devil doesn't want us to do this. He wants us not to do this. So I don't know. I'm waiting on him right now to whether use other people or use myself and other people. I don't know if anybody's going to respond to come for this kind of anointing. I don't know. I'm going to ask the musicians to come back, though. We can sing a nice little song for you. I don't think you should be afraid of what I got. Much afraid. You shouldn't get sick while you're praying for healing, should you? There's nothing wrong. I'm going to start out and go as long as I can. If anybody comes. Maybe you're done. Say, I have no plan except a vial of oil. But I do want to make it relatively informal. That means if a friend comes up here, I want you to have the ability to agree with them. I don't want to make a spectacle out of people. I detest making these guys make altars shows. I detest it. I hate it. Because what we're doing here is tremendously spiritual. It's tremendously personal. We're not to make fun. We're not to make a show out of it. Because we're dealing with the holy oil of heaven. The restoring power of a resurrected Savior. Jesus said this: is it easier to forgive this man his sins or to tell him to get up and walk? Thy sins are forgiven thee. Now take up your bed and walk. It's as easy for the Lord to heal us as it is to save us. He's not going to fail us tonight. I caution you, if you want to live in an old lifestyle, continue in your lifestyle, don't come up here and ask for prayer and anointing. Don't do it. Wait until you're ready to consecrate your life to Jesus. Now the great question on pastors and people alike is, what if I go up there, I'm anointed with oil, and I pray, and nothing happens? What do I do then? I can tell you one thing, sitting there and not doing it won't get the job done. This week, as pondering about what to do on Sunday night, this whole idea came so very forcefully to me. It actually came to me before the Sunday morning stuff. So I didn't think this up. I'm not sitting in my study saying, okay, what will we do Sunday night? The Holy Ghost put this thing together. He must want to do something. He's the instigator. He's the one that said, I'll honor the oil. I'll honor it. He's the one that said that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So you guys just sing along with those guys. And I invite anybody who is brave enough to be anointed with oil, if you have somebody up here that is a friend or a relative of yours and you want to pray with them, please feel free to do it. But I have oil. I have faith. Hallelujah. And I'm ready to go to work with you. Not just for you, but it's with you. And if you have the courage to come, I have the courage to pray and believe. Hallelujah.
Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Rise and be healed in the name.